All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going deep on oil and gas leases.
Oh, it's exciting.
And more specifically, focusing on one case, Phillips Petroleum Covey Curtis. And I think this one is so interesting because it really showcases the very serious potential downsides of messing up the administrative parts of these agreements.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't get it right, you could be in for some really significant financial losses.
Oh, yeah, definitely some legal headaches too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So the question we're going to try to answer today is, if you mess up, even a tiny little thing with these oil and gas leases, can the courts step in to sort of save you
Right.
and
Oh,
help you
man.
out, especially if you've, put a lot of money into the property already?
Like, can equity save the day,
Yeah,
basically?
exactly. So let's jump into Phillips v. Curtis. Where do we even begin with this one?
Well, first, I think it's helpful to understand the background, right? So we're talking about a lease that was signed back in 1946, October 4th, to be exact. Between Joe W. and Lois B. Curtis, they were the lessors. And then originally it was with this guy, James T. Blanton, but he ended up assigning it over to Phillips Petroleum Company.
Gotcha.
And the primary term of this lease was 5 years.
Okay, so 5 years, and then what was the payment they were supposed to make?
So they had to make an annual delay rental payment. And get this, it was only 160 bucks.
$160. Huh, that seems
Yeah.
right and small.
Pretty small considering what's at stake, with these oil and gas leases. But as you'll see, even that tiny amount led to a massive legal fight.
Yeah, I guess every dollar counts when you're talking about these types of leases. So when was the payment due, and when did they actually end up paying?
The crucial date, the one they missed, was October 4th, 1948.
1948, okay.
But here's the thing. The reason they missed it was a simple employee error. Like somebody in Phillips just messed up
Oh, really?
internally. And the crazy part is they realized it the very next day, October 5th. And they immediately sent a check for the $160 to the Curtises, figuring, hey, it's just one day late, We've already invested in the property. Surely it's fine.
Right. You would think,
Yeah.
right, like, come on, it's just one day.
Exactly. But the Curtises weren't having it. On October 11th, they're like, nope, sorry, you missed the deadline. They rejected the payment and said the lease was terminated
Oh, wow.
because it wasn't paid on time.
So now Phillips is in a tough spot. I mean, they've probably, what, spent a bunch of time and money on this lease.
Likely, yeah.
And now because of, somebody in the office messed up, they're potentially going to lose it all. I
Yep.
mean, what was their argument in court?
So their argument was basically, look, we made a mistake. It was an honest oversight. We fixed it right away. They emphasized the investments they'd already made in the property, hoping the court would be sympathetic to their situation,
Right.
give them a break. But the big legal questions for the court were, did the lease actually end the second they missed that payment deadline? And if it did, could the court, use their power to prevent the lease from being actually terminated? Could they like override that?
Yeah.
So that was what the court had to figure out. They had to look at, what the agreement actually said and whether fairness, could sort of overrule those strict terms.
Right.
And we should also note that the district court originally sided with the Curtises. They said, yep, lease is terminated. Phillips, of course, they weren't happy with that. They appealed to the 10th Circuit, hoping to get that decision overturned.
Gotcha. So the district court said, nope, you're out of luck.
Exactly.
They appeal, and this goes up to the 10th Circuit. So tell me a little bit about what the 10th Circuit said. But first, I think it's important to maybe explain the difference between an unless lease and a drill or pay lease to understand what happened.
Oh, yeah, that's really important
Yeah.
because that distinction is key here. So, in a nutshell, with a drill or pay lease, the person who leases the land, the lessee, they basically have a couple options. They can either start drilling, within a certain time frame, or they can make these payments, delay rentals, we call them, to keep the lease active. But if they don't do either of those things, it doesn't automatically mean the lease is over. The person who owns the land, the lessor, they usually have to take some action to officially end it, to declare it forfeited.
So drill or pay lease, you have options,
Yeah.
and the owner has to take steps to terminate if you don't follow through. Okay, so how is an unless lease different?
Unless leases are where things get a little trickier. They have this clause that basically says, look, this lease will automatically end unless certain things happen. And you guessed it, the most common thing is making that delay rental payment on time.
Oh, okay.
So think of it like your streaming service subscription. You know, if you don't pay on time.
Oh, they cut you off.
They just cut you off, right? No warning, no second chances. It's the same idea with an unless lease. If you miss that payment deadline, boom, lease is done. It just expires.
That's a great analogy. I think everyone can kind of understand that. Okay, so going back to the case, the court decided that Phillips v. Curtis was dealing with an unless lease. Is that right?
Exactly.
So because they didn't pay by October 4th, that was it. Game over.
Yeah, pretty much. And the court was very clear. They said, this isn't a forfeiture. It's just the lease ending based on what you all agreed to in the contract.
I see.
And that's a really crucial legal distinction, right? Because it makes it a lot harder for the courts to step in with, you know, equitable principles, which mm-hmm. are usually used to prevent things from being taken away unfairly, to prevent forfeiture.
Oh, okay. So because it's not technically a forfeiture, Phillips can't really argue that it's unfair. It's just like the rules of the game.
Exactly. They can't say, oh, it's unfair to lose the lease because of this small mistake. The court's like, nope, you agreed to these terms. Time is of the essence here.
That's a tough break for Phillips. But, I mean, I've heard of cases where courts have intervened in lease disputes. Are there situations where, like, they would use these equitable principles to, you know, help someone out?
Oh, absolutely. The court actually talked about that in the Phillips decision. They said, look, there are times when we step in, like, let's say the post office messed up and your payment didn't arrive on time, even though you mailed it early.
Right.
That's not your fault.
Right.
It's an external problem. And in those cases, the court might say, okay, that's not fair. We'll use equity to prevent the lease from ending.
Right.
But in Phillips's case, it was their own internal mistake. It was an employee error.
Oh, I see.
Something that was, you know, within their control to prevent. So the court basically said, look, you can't blame anyone but yourselves for this.
Okay. So it comes down to external problem, maybe you get a break. Internal problem, you're probably out of luck. But why are the courts so strict about enforcing these clauses in oil and gas?
Okay.
It seems a little harsh. You know, people make mistakes.
Well, think about it from the industry's perspective. Oil and gas, it's a big business with a lot of moving parts. Mm-hmm. Having these strict rules, it creates certainty. Lessors know their rights. Potential lessees know what they're getting into. It keeps things clear and predictable.
Right, right.
If courts were constantly stepping in and making exceptions, it would just create chaos, you know? No one would be sure what the rules really were.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what's the big takeaway for lawyers or, you know, even law students listening to this who will one day be advising clients on these complex leases? Mm-hmm. What did Phillips v. Curtis really teach us?
The main lesson, the one you can't ignore, is this. Mm-hmm. If you have a client with an unless lease, tell them they need to be super careful about those delay rental payments. No room for error.
Okay.
They need systems in place, double checks, triple checks, whatever it takes to make sure those payments are made on time. Every single time.
Yeah.
And for those drafting these leases, it might be worth thinking about adding what's called a notice to cure clause. This basically says the lessor has to notify the lessee if they miss a payment and give them a chance to fix it before the lease automatically terminates.
Oh, that's interesting.
It gives a little bit of breathing room, but of course, lessors might not always be keen on including that, so it could be a point of negotiation.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. So poor Phillips, huh? One little mistake cost them what could have been a really valuable lease.
Yeah, it's a tough lesson to learn. And think about this. The case mentioned that Phillips was dealing with something like 36,000 delay rental payments every year.
Wow, that's a lot.
So even big companies with established processes, they're not immune to these strict rules.
Yeah, wow. So Phillips v. Curtis, it really solidified this key legal principle in oil and gas law, didn't it? Can you remind us what that is?
Basically, if you don't pay those delay rentals on time in an unless lease, it's automatic termination. And if that missed payment was your fault, well, the courts probably aren't going to save you.
And the court didn't mince words when they issued their decision. Could you remind us of that last line from their opinion?
Yeah, it was pretty stark. They said, denial of equitable relief, harsh as it may seem, was proper.
Powerful stuff. So Phillips v. Curtis, it's a landmark case. It's still cited today. It shows just how crucial it is to really understand these agreements and follow them to the letter, especially when it comes to those unless clauses and timely payments.
Absolutely. You know, for our listeners out there dealing with these leases, the bottom line is vigilance is key.
Mm.
Don't let deadlines slip because even a small error can have huge consequences.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap up this deep dive into Phillips Petroleum Covey Curtis. It's a fascinating case. It's a little scary, but it definitely highlights the importance of being meticulous in this area of law.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you think, right? Like, even with all these systems and processes, human error is still a factor. So is it always fair to hold people to these strict unless clauses, especially when a simple mistake can cost so much? It's a question worth pondering.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, thank you for diving deep with us.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll see you next time.